Good morning, everybody. It's Kingsley Hall speaking to you, Company Secretary of MicroX. Just by way of update, we lodged an announcement with the ASX this morning, some 40-odd minutes ago, and we are waiting on that announcement to be uploaded to the ASX site. And we're advised that we should hold off on the call until that happens. Now, we understand that that's imminent, but we didn't want you sitting on the call here without understanding where we're at. So we expect it'll be a couple of more minutes, and we will check back and commence the call at that time. So this is just an update, and hopefully we'll be back to you very shortly. Thanks very much.
Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the MicroX Airport Security Proposals Awarded conference call. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation, followed by a question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key, followed by the number 1 on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Peter Rowland, Managing Director. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Ashley. Welcome, everyone, and apologies for keeping you waiting. I'm Peter Rowland, and I'm pleased to be talking to you today following the exciting news we received from the US Department of Homeland Security yesterday that two proposals we submitted for the Transportation Security Administration, the TSA's Passenger Self-Screening Project, have been selected for funding. We filed an ASX announcement early this morning, and we apologize there's been some delays in getting that posted. When that is posted, you'll see that we've provided details on those two proposals. I'm joined today by Dr. Brian Gonzalez, who leads MicroX Inc., our wholly owned U.S. subsidiary in Seattle, Washington, and who is also our chief scientist, normally splitting his time between Seattle and Adelaide. And also Kingsley Hall, our chief financial officer, joins me as usual.
Thanks, Peter, and good morning. It's my pleasure to be speaking with you all today. Before we commence, I would like to cover off on one brief formality. I'd like to remind those on the call that today's call may contain forward-looking statements which involve inherent risks and uncertainties. Those risks and uncertainties include those disclosed in our ASX lodgements, which we recommend that you review. While there are reasonable grounds for any forward-looking statements made today, due to their inherent uncertainties, we recommend that you do not place undue reliance on those statements, and you note that actual results may, of course, differ materially from those forward-looking statements. I'll now hand back over to you, Peter.
Thanks, Kingsley. With that, let me begin by saying a big thank you to Brian Gonzalez and all the MicroX team who've worked so hard to put these two proposals together for DHS so quickly. Brian has led our relationship with the DHS and the TSA and has been central in the success of both proposals. While Brian might himself be too modest to say this publicly, he has had a strong relationship with TSA for over 10 years and is recognized in the aviation security industry as a respected expert on X-ray imaging physics and new technology. Before we turn to the details of these successful DHS proposals and why we believe these are so important to our broader plans for the security market, I'd like to provide some insight as to how we became involved in DHS's passenger self-screening project in the first place. Back in November of last year, Brian was invited to Washington, D.C. to brief the DHS and TSA on MicroX's X-ray imaging technology and the experience which we had built up on a project called Finding Explosives Hidden in Electronic Items under the Future Aviation Security Solutions Program for the UK government. What Brian was able then to present on the technology and capabilities of the miniaturized X-ray screening we were developing for the UK's self-service checkpoint was by all accounts very well received by the TSA team. They had been developing their own similar self-service checkpoint concepts, but were wondering how they could get an X-ray unit small enough to work with the portal concept without compromising on their high threat detection standards. In late July, the DHS issued a BAA, a broad agency announcement, on their passenger self-screening concept. So we, along with around 30 or 40 other companies, submitted white papers in response, outlining plans to develop an integrated self-service airport checkpoint solution. The goal was to integrate photometric identity check-in access with a self-service style security check for explosives and prohibited items, both on the passenger and in their carry-on baggage and personal effects. The intention, of course, is for a much improved passenger experience, faster processing with reduced queuing, greater security with higher detection standards, the useful correlation of images with passenger data, and of course, greatly reduced staffing costs. An additional benefit, which has become more important in recent months, is the improved health safety from having much less human contact and interactions between TSA officers and the traveling public. To provide some context, the TSA is part of the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, and it manages all the security for the traveling public in the United States, which covers some 440 airports. They do this on an annual budget of over $8 billion U.S. dollars, with around 34,000 frontline transport safety officers who screen on average 2 million passengers every single day. As TSA's parent organization, the proposals are officially managed through DHS Science and Technology Directorate, which manages future-looking research and development for DHS and provides a pathway to future potential TSA products. The white papers we submitted to DHS dealt with the X-ray screening of carry-on bags as one element, and then a second proposal for a whole integrated checkpoint system, which included the X-ray screening along with all the other features I mentioned. Following evaluation of the BAA responses, the DHS then invited a much smaller number of companies to submit full proposals, including MicroX Inc., in respect of two programs. Again, we were pleased our breakthrough technology was well recognized, as many much larger companies didn't make it through to this second stage. The first of these MicroX programs was for the X-ray screening component of the self-service checkpoint, which we call the Miniaturized Accessible Property CT prototype. This was for the sum of $1.5 million US dollars to fund the development of a prototype unit to be delivered within 12 months, which then TSA would test for a further 6 months. The second program was for the overall design of a whole self-screening checkpoint portal system, which integrates identity verification, body scanning of the passenger, and again, the X-ray scanning and automated threat detection of all carry-on and personal items, which is the deliverable under the first program. This included funding of up to 2.5 million US dollars across several stages over 20 months to provide a final design and prototype. So while we have been quietly confident of the benefits of our carbon nanotube technology brings in being able to deliver the miniature X-ray piece, we are very excited now to be chosen for both programs, which gives us two shots on goal. By that I mean that we have the opportunity, if successful in the long term, to provide the much larger system solution for the whole checkpoint, as well as the opportunity to provide the X-ray piece, which, while smaller, is also hugely attractive for us. Before I get into some more of the program details, I would point out that we were only notified of our success on both proposals just under 24 hours ago, and both are also subject to us completing a formal contracting process. So there are some things that we can't tell investors at this stage, as they are still being finalized or are highly confidential. Having had experience working with U.S. government agencies, as well as the Australian Defence Force, has helped our credentials and should help us navigate processes in Washington, D.C. As some may have noticed in the ASX release, the awards are to our wholly owned U.S. subsidiary, MicroX Inc., which is based in Seattle. Strategically, to align with our U.S. government customers' needs, MicroX plans to run these programs and all the sensitive threat detection software development activities using employees of MicroX Inc. who are U.S. nationals. This is to address the security issues surrounding threat evolution, which will become important in time given the nature of this work. The hardware and systems design and manufacture will be conducted at our X-ray facility and R&D labs here in Adelaide, where we are pleased to say there's a lot of commonality in this work with the activities supporting our Brain CT project. So while we only briefly mentioned the DHS proposals in our recent quarterly and investor call a few weeks back, in the background we've been planning for this work for some time. Now the team will mobilize towards a planned kickoff of both programs in the coming months, and we expect to be working in earnest with formal commencement date early in the new year. In terms of our activities and our focus, it's important to realize that these proposals do not involve either our sales or manufacturing teams, each of which we want to remain strongly focused on finding and delivering additional nano and rover orders. Instead, we will be using these DHS proposals to springboard our operations in the US, where we plan to expand capability with the addition of about 4 high-quality imaging and software engineers. With Amazon, Google, and Boeing all in the same Seattle neighborhood, we're confident of being able to attract the right high-caliber talent we need on a timely basis. For the self-screening checkpoint portal program, we will lead the work as prime contractor of a consortium of companies. And I'm pleased to be able to announce 2 very high-quality Australian groups who are part of that, being Illenium Automation and Monash University, MADA, both from Melbourne. Illenium already developed self-service passenger automation for many airports around the world, including a recent impressive reference site in Hong Kong. The Monash team will bring to bear their huge resources in system workflow design, also with strong international aviation credentials, having previously worked on a project for Boeing in the US. We've also engaged with the German passenger scanning technology provider and a US-based software group, each of which will remain confidential until contracting is completed. Our role will be to manage and coordinate these cutting-edge technologies across 4 key disciplines to provide an intuitive workflow and low-stress passenger experience, and ultimately provide the TSA with improved security detection capability. Now, I know many investors will want to understand what the scale of this airport security market could be. And while the DHS and TSA are not committing to any purchasing, we do know they have 2,200 check-in lanes today. And the plan would be for each lane to be upgraded over time with around 4 to 6 self-service checkpoint portals. So that's 8,000 to 10,000 portals over time. On the detailed commercial elements of sale price and cost of production, these will need to be further developed as the proposals progress and the final designs become known. We think, though, that based on the costs of existing checkpoint and CT scanning infrastructure, that it's reasonable to assume that a full-service checkpoint portal would be priced around $750,000 US, with the X-ray scanner somewhere in the order of 1/4 of that amount. As you can appreciate, that's a very large and long-term opportunity in the US alone. And of course, with much pressure from the aviation community to harmonize global airport security standards, other countries will all be watching the progress as well. From a big picture perspective, it's been our long-term strategy to grow a prominent presence in the security market. We see these 2 TSA projects as putting us one step closer to achieving that, and also giving us a strengthening base of US capabilities from where we are better able to seek US business opportunities in the security, military, and medical markets. So with that, I will now pass you back to the operator, who will commence the question and answer portion of this call. And as Brian has led these projects, he will assist in responding to your questions.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press *1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press *2. If you're on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Your first question comes from Jamie Fitzgerald with Fitzgerald Enterprises. Please go ahead.
Oh, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good morning. We're good.
Peter, first of all, I'd just like to thank you and your team for all the work that you put in. It doesn't go unnoticed, the amount of travelling and sacrifices that you put in, which brings me to the next question. It makes it hard for me to be critical, but I'd like to know why we're not on social media and especially on the world's largest second largest search engine, YouTube. If I Google any of your products or want to know the difference in between, say, MicroX X-ray machine and the competition, it's not there. YouTube's insanely easy to use. Keywords work exceptionally well. And I think on the last investor call, an elderly gentleman asked why we're not on social media.
Look, we do have some social media presence in LinkedIn. We have only recently recruited a new strategic marketing manager, Tanil, who's working on those areas now. We are very much aware of what you say, and we'll be working to improve all of these marketing collaterals in the coming weeks and months.
I hope so, because it's incredibly critical. Because once you're on YouTube with those keywords, if you Google or want to know something, bang, you come up on the first page with a video link. And the more videos you get up there, the higher you end up in that search. Incredibly critical. Can't wait to see that. The second question is, how does Nano X affect Micro X moving forward?
A lot of publicity surrounding Nanox, so we've had a lot of questions about that. At the moment, it seems that Nano X is very early stage. I mean, we're pleased that there's another high profile company has got the same vision that we have in terms of seeing the power that cold cathode technology can bring to a number of applications. So it validates they have the same dream as us. We don't see any immediate issue. From what we can see so far, their technology is some long way behind us in terms of their X-ray development. We've been on a very long journey. Brian Gonzalez will testify to that, and we've discovered an awful lot about how to not only make X-ray tubes with a significant current, but get the those CNT emitters to work in the X-ray tube. So we know the path that NanoX still has ahead of them, and we wish them well on that journey.
Thank you. Your next question comes from David Blake with BioShares. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Peter. I was just wanting to understand if sales have had a direct involvement with this program.
Sorry, if who has?
Sales, Thales.
Oh, Thales. Thales. No. Thales, when we initiated our collaboration with Thales, this was obviously something we were working on in the UK. But Thales had a vision that they wanted to use CNT technology in a more conventional conveyor belt imaging solution, and that was where they wanted to put their focus. So they haven't been involved in this self-screening concept stuff at all.
Okay, thanks.
Your next question comes from Finn Rissell with Lodge Partners. Please go ahead.
Hi, Peter. How are you? Good morning.
Hello, Finn. Good morning.
Just to quickly clarify, is MicroX the sole winner of this contract, or is this basically a final test run? I kind of missed that part.
We think that the TSA may have let more contracts than just the two that we're getting, but at this stage, this very early stage, we don't have any visibility of how many or to whom.
And for how long, so at what stage will you actually know if you're going to be the sole winner of the contract or if other people, when do we know?
Look, I mean, we may hear rumors through industry gossip. I can ask Brian to comment on this, but it'll become public when the contracts are signed, and then this will be on the accessible through the U.S. government websites. Is that not correct, Brian?
Yes. Hello, everyone. This is Brian Gonzalez. Yes, that's correct, Peter. We will not officially know until it gets published by the U.S. government. But at this point, all we are aware of is that we ourselves have been invited or been selected for funding, and we believe that two others have as well.
Okay, thank you.
Your next question comes from Scott Power with Morgans Financial. Please go ahead.
Thanks, and congratulations, Peter and the rest of the team. Just a couple of follow-on questions from that last one. Just so the two components gives us $4 million US dollars over the next 12 to 20 months to undertake those prototypes for the two components of the funding. That's correct, isn't it?
Yep.
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 Okay.
Yep.
And I was just, Peter, can you just go back and repeat what you said about the number of check-in lanes, the potential size of each unit once it's all done, and hey, just some of those basic numbers. I was scribbling them down. I just wanted to make sure it was clear.
I might ask Brian to comment on that because you're well across the state of the art. And Brian, would you like to answer that?
Yeah, sure. So the TSA currently has 2,200 deployed units in the United States across 440 airports. If this idea goes and becomes successful, they will begin to replace each one of those 2,200 with between 4 to 6 of these portals. So we see a long-term potential of 8,000 total systems that will be total portals that will be the final potential market. And then we expect that the sell price of each individual portal or the deployment price will be in the neighborhood of $750,000 US, and that the X-ray scanner portion of that will be about a quarter of that amount.
Great. Okay, that's clear. Thanks very much, and congratulations once again.
Thanks, Scott. Yeah, it's very, very exciting news.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Elaine David with Hammond Voice Corporation. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Peter. Congratulations on getting these contracts. I know it's involved a lot of work. Did I understand correctly? Did you say that the proposal involves X-ray examination of the passengers as they go through?
Yes, exactly. We were hoping that by the time this call started, you would have been able to read the ASX announcement. In which we've got an illustration and, you know, a picture is worth a thousand words. But the view of this portal, which is depicted in that illustration, will give you an idea of what that looks like. But the concept is that the passenger accesses this portal, and while inside the portal using the self-service baggage X-ray, then millimeter wave technology will actually scan the passenger. In the millimeter wave that you might be familiar with in airports, normally you stand kind of spread eagled while the system revolves around you. But in the concept we're proposing, the passenger movement within the cubicle provides the motion needed for the millimeter wave to scan the body.
Okay, well that's not X-ray.
No, that's millimeter wave. The same technology that's used international ports.
I can just imagine a lot of passengers are saying, no, thank you, I'm not getting X-ray.
yes, indeed. No, that's really not likely to catch on.
No. Okay, thank you very much, Peter. Yeah.
Your next question comes from David Langsam with Biotech Daily. Please go ahead.
Peter, congratulations on scoring the contract. I just wanted to follow up on the money side of it. What I understand you've got at the moment is $4 million US in funding, and are you competing against other companies for this work, or is this all yours? And are there any other numbers that we should be knowing about? You mentioned earlier 750,000 per scanner and a quarter of that amount for the X-ray machine. What does that mean when you add them together? You're saying about just under $1 million.
Well, Peter?
Sorry, Peter, yes. It's Kingsley. Apologies to everyone on the call. I have just had a call from the ASX who have had our announcement now for the first part of over an hour. They've asked for some additional information pertaining to our announcement and have additionally asked that this call not continue until we provide that additional information so that the announcement can be released to the market. So I do apologise for that, and we'll need to revert with further details at that time. But we've been advised that the call shouldn't continue.
Okay.
Thank you.
So thank you for attending, and we will be back to the market with further information.
Thank you. That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.